what you notice in this particular.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service here in the south of France. It is lovely that the weather has been as glorious as it has been, but I tell you what, with all these layers on, I am thankful that it is cooler today than it was yesterday. But you are all most welcome. It is wonderful to be able to gather together in the midst of all that our lives contain for us at the moment, to worship God, to praise his name for his grace, his love. And we're going to begin by doing that, by singing that great hymn, number 19, Amazing Grace. So we are here in the presence of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. We have sung this morning that 'twas grace that taught our hearts to fear, and grace our fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour we first believed. And so, remembering God's grace, let us bring our hearts, our faults, our mistakes, and our sins before him, confident in the promise of his mercy, as we confess our sins together. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated for our Bible readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father."
"Yes, my son,"
Abraham replied.
"The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham."
"Here I am," he replied.
"Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The God will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have now come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us stand and sing our next hymn, number 22. We're going to sing this one through twice.
Thank you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Rewards. I wonder what you think of when we think about rewards. Perhaps you're currently staying up into the late hours of the night in order to cheer on the football, hoping that someone will bring that particular reward home. I don't know whether we will manage it or not. Perhaps you think about your nectar rewards when you're shopping and you're collecting points and you can apply it on to something else. Maybe you were once salesperson of the year or employee of the month, or maybe you managed to get the one award I never managed at school, 100% attendance. I never managed to get that one for some reason or another. Rewards are different kinds of things, and we seem to like the idea of earning them, of achieving them, of being celebrated for the things that we have got, whether it's helping us with our economy or whether it's celebrating our athletic prowess or our academic achievements. It is nice to be recognized and acknowledged. And yet, when we think about grace and rewards, we can find ourselves feeling a little bit confused or uncertain as how best to move on. Paul talks a lot about grace. You have been set free from sin. You have nothing to add to what Jesus has done for you on the cross. And yet, we have this talk of rewards. If you do this, you will receive that as well. So what is it? Is it a case that we receive everything by grace? Or do we actually still need to make sure that we earn ourselves some of those divine rewards? That on the day of judgment, we will be weighed up and found forgiven of all our sins, yes? But will we have a ledger whereby if you've done X amount of good deeds, you get a different coloured sash? This is, in its core, one of the core arguments and discussions between Protestants and Catholics. And in truth, a lot of us are trying to acknowledge the two sides of the same coin, but the way the argument unfolds can be unhelpful. Grace is all we need. This is clear. God himself in Jesus Christ has stepped into the world to be for us the sacrifice of God's only Son, that we might be made righteous in his sight. Abraham was praised for being prepared to give even his only son Isaac to God. And yet we often don't make that step of thinking that God was prepared to give his only son to us. And why does he do that? It's because from before the beginning of the world, he knew that he was going to make humanity in his image, that he was going to make people. People with names, people from families, people who are part of different nations and cultures, and that these people, in his image will be his glory. And yet sin has marred that glory. Sin, first of all, in the Garden of Eden, entering us into a systemic reality of corruption and imperfection. Even before we are able to choose what to do as an infant, we are in a world which is hurting and broken and decaying. No wonder that when we grow up and learn, we continue to make mistakes. We are selfish, we are greedy, we are unthinking and unkind and hasty. Many of us try our best to overcome our proclivities towards weakness. And sometimes we fashion for ourselves an idol of goodness by trying really hard to be a good person. But Jesus has entered into that world, and he has taken in himself all that we are and has lived as the best version of us before God and humanity, so that on the cross he might represent both halves of the relationship, that he might make a gateway through death that we can live life with an eternal God as our Father. Not just a creator, but a Father, one who knows us by name and who loves us. What we discover in the grace of Jesus Christ is that there is nothing we need to do in order to be saved. Grace is the floor, the bottom, the limit. We cannot do any amount of sin that will take us below the depths of his love. There is nothing, no thing, no power in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so, having entered onto the floor of grace, we've realized that we are in a space. And in that space, we have options. We have freedom. Paul says that you have been freed from the captivity and slavery of sin. No longer are you trapped within the fallen decay of the world that is around us. You are empowered as one who is loved by God to live life to the full and to make choices. And so we discover that our salvation, earned by the grace of God, is not a static quality, but it is an open freedom for us to move and live within. Even if we still sin from time to time, daily in my case, even if we still sin, that grace will always support and sustain us. But it is not the limit of where we can go. We have as a basis our identity as Christians and as children of God. But the fullness of our identity is, what does it mean to be ourselves in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be Samuel in Jesus, to be Bill in Jesus, to be Allison in Jesus, to be Sarah in Jesus? What does it mean to be who we are in Jesus? There is a sense of freedom and choice, and we can, out of our receiving of the love of God, love others. And the love that we love others with does not save us. It does not do anything for us that Jesus has already done for us on the cross. But it is still a good thing to do. We are free to be and do good. We're no longer chasing goodness in order to be good enough. We are being good to express the generosity of God that is within our lives. And I know that even if you haven't thought of it in this way for yourself, that each of you sitting here have demonstrated through your time, your talents, and your care for one another, this generosity of God's goodness. This church is not me standing at the front preaching and teaching. This church is each of us united together in Jesus Christ as the fellowship of all believers who gather together in worship and prayer and praise on Sundays, yes, but who share elements of our lives with one another throughout all of the weeks, who pray for each other, who support each other, who bake cakes, who bring things along, who come and tidy and clean when no one else is looking, who picks up the telephone and checks in to say, are you okay? Who offers one another lifts to the doctors and to the hospitals, who raise money for charity, who spend time doing so many good things, that I don't know all of the good things that you are doing. And that is a wonderful thing. The goodness of God is poured into our hearts, uniting us with his Son and giving us the freedom to be good and do good things. And for those good things, we will be rewarded. God will forgive us our sins. And he will not judge us as we ought to be judged, but will judge us by his Son. But he will praise us and love us for the things that we have done in his name as his children. And so Jesus is speaking to the disciples, saying, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Do you hear that? If I receive someone who is a Christian, who is Jesus, then I am receiving Jesus. Which means that when we spend time with each other and bless one another, we are receiving the blessing of Jesus in and through each other. And he goes on to say, whoever receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person receives a righteous person's reward. We share in the goodness of one another. Sometimes this is very easy to abstract out and away. But I heard a story the other day that I thought was incredibly profound. It was a question online asking people, what was the most impactful thing that someone has ever said to you? And I read a story of a nurse who was dealing with patients in a ward that required a lot more care. These were people who were not quite fitting into any one area of the hospital. It wasn't that they were all cancer patients or heart patients or whatever, but that space where you come in and you need care, and then before, after you've been there, you will go on to the ward that you need to be in. And one morning she went into the ward and she found that there were two patients who needed her help. One was an elderly nun struggling to get out of bed and to go to the toilet. And the other was a woman who had been brought in the night having overcome a suspected overdose. And the nurse's job was to clean her up. And the nun said, don't worry about me. I'll manage, dear. They need more care and attention. And the nurse went to this individual and they smelt bad. Nurses encounter people who smell bad all the time, but even on their standards, this was awful. They had clearly been homeless for a long time. Their clothes were filled and saturated with sweat and feces and grime and dirt, to the point where she had to cut the clothes off. She had to scrub and wash her clean, even though this individual did not want to be clean. And it took her over an hour to get everything out of her hair and to have her skin be all cleaned and rinsed and sorted and looked after. And the nurse felt absolutely rotten by the end of it. It had not been a pleasant experience for her. And the nun eventually came back into the room, having managed to deal with her own business in the morning. And she went and a doctor came to get the nun for her appointment. And on her way out, she looked at the nurse and she said, this morning you have washed the Lord. And this nurse realized that although it was unpleasant, although it was difficult, She had received in that moment an opportunity to love and serve someone else, not because they deserved it, not because they were good enough, but because they needed to be loved. And in that moment, she discovered actually that even in the least desirable person in the world, we can still see the love of Jesus. This was no longer someone who was homeless from the streets. This was a person, a child of God, clean and restored, ready to receive further treatment. And so I don't know what situations you will go into in this week, but I want to encourage you to be more of what you already are. You are loved with a love so great and eternal that you will never exhaust all of the riches of that love. But you have been set free to love freely, to love boldly, to love generously. And as we love one another and support one another and even engage with strangers, we will discover a love and a blessing greater than the world can ever know. So let us come to the table, receiving Jesus in our fellowship with one another, tasting in the bread and the wine a glimpse of God's love for each of us, that we who have been saved by grace might also enjoy the eternal rewards of heaven. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the quiet and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for our service this morning and for sending us your Son, Jesus, into our world. As in this morning's Bible readings, we pray that sin will no longer be our master, because we are under the grace of Jesus, and we will welcome others into our church in his name. May we hear and accept the promises from Jesus and keep them close to our hearts. May we help others to share in this inner peace during the present chaos of the modern world. Help us to be humble and yet strong in our Christian beliefs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the future peace and stability within our dangerous world, trusting and believing that peace and love will overcome hatred, violence, and crime. We pray that our world will see the end of wars, poverty, disease and environmental damage. We pray for future generations that love, compassion and reconciliation will overcome hatred, anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, especially within families. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing hardship, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those on our list. The Stowe family, Jonathan, David and Tracy, and Tom and Manon, on the passing of Pauline Stowe. Amanda R., continuing with her treatment. Bob V., unwell. Carol and Jeff, who are housebound, and Jeff is receiving palliative care. Chris and his family for the positive outcome from recent chemotherapy treatment. Graham Lang, undergoing treatment and his family, Harry and Sheila Knox, Gerald, Adrian, Heather, Harry, Oliver, Thomas and family on the death of Philip Cooper, Graham Lang undergoing treatment and his family, Laura G recovering from a fall, Marie, mother of Tash, recovering from her fall, Sandra Mason, who is unwell, Sheila Cousins, the youth club, and the Sanctuary Cafe. And then in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in our beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others in our community so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God is love, and those who live in love live in God. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. It's all right, get you all tangled up. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Our next hymn is number 54. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Thank you. Would you please be seated for our Eucharistic prayer on page 5. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed
right, it is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ shed for you. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We haven't got much in the way of notices, but I would just like to echo once again my thanks to each of you who have been involved in the various activities and events whilst I've been away. There are many people I haven't been able to thank in person yet, but I am so thrilled that this place does not fall apart when I am not here, and indeed continues on doing good things in our community and being a witness of good people serving a good God. This evening we have our next youth club session. Please do be praying for that, that we will all have a fun time, but hopefully also a thoughtful time as we think about what it means to be good people in the world today. The only other bit of notice is that you might have noticed there's no Alfred wandering up and down the aisles today. Alfred and Linnea are still in Sweden, and they fly back tomorrow. They've had a lovely celebration on her street with all their neighbours and things yesterday. I'm sure they'll be very happy to talk to you about it when they come back. But I came back early just to spend today with you. So I hope that it's been a good morning. It's lovely to be back and to see you all. And I look forward to the summer together. But let us, as those who by the grace of God have been set free to be good in all the ways that it means to be ourselves in Jesus, stand up and sing with joyful hearts and voices, hymn number 42, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. As we head out in the freedom of Christ to do good in the days and weeks ahead, may we go in the blessing of God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.